Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We're coming close to the end. We're on page Kuf Yud Aleph, Os Kuf Nun, number 150. And on page Kuf Yud Aleph, we're 6 lines from the top. We're talking about this idea of a strong desire to want to be close to God. The stronger you want to get close to God, that's how much you're going to make the effort and work on this in terms of your Shemaim, Yiras HaShleimus. We're talking about also the fear of not being able to perfect oneself, and how every sin blocks us and creates barriers between us and our own perfection. So to the degree that this concept penetrates more, that you want, your heart wants to be close to Hashem, to that degree you're going to work at it, not want to get things to get in the way. So that's what we're up to now, the 6th line from the top. Al ha'adam lahagia lamatzav shekol levavo yeh tshuka liskariv lakadosh baruch hu lischaber elav. A person should reach the level that his entire heart has a yearning to get close to Hashem and to connect to Him. Ubezeh tiyeh machshavas libo, and that should be his thoughts. Ruv ruba shal yom, for the vast majority of the day, that's the only thing you're thinking about, is this tremendous yearning to get close to Hashem. And the brackets say, of course, not while you're learning Torah, obviously. So if you really, really, really want to get close to Hashem, therefore, anything that is blocking your way, anything that's impeding the progress of that goal, who yinasel asalchel, try to get rid of it. And then truly, the person will properly fear sin. That's the proper way of fearing sin. It comes out to 3 steps. Number 1, Aleph. She'adam yeda shekol tachlis chayav zeh lios karv lakadosh baruch hu. A person has to know that the entire goal of his life is to be close to Hashem. Base, number 2. She'yeda zeh yemolias levavo v'zutia tshukas chayav. This knowledge should fill his heart and it should be the yearning of his life. 3, and to know that sin prevents him from reaching that goal. And finally, and then he will be afraid of doing that avera very, very much, because it takes away from that perfection that he's looking forward to. So, those are the 3 steps. Easier said than done. Kuf Nun Aleph. Dover zeh eina toli behechrich echad b'sheni. This thing, one does not necessarily depend on the other. What does he mean? It could be that your desire is very strong to be close to Hashem. Vimzos, but still in all, he doesn't feel that the sin contradicts this closeness. So even if you want to be close to Hashem and you're yearning to be close to Hashem, you say, but I still do averos, and that's not a problem. Why? Because to that which we're saying, that the sin prevents a person from getting close to Hashem, this isn't something that's readily apparent to the eye, and can be sensed by all. This is only information. That we know, we have the information that a sin will prevent us from getting close to Hashem. But we don't really feel that. Similarly, a spouse can love another spouse. And really love the spouse, but not realize that their behavior is causing a great distance between the two of them. They just don't realize. You do certain things and the other spouse doesn't like it. Sometimes the other spouse will inform you of the consequences of this kind of behavior, but so then you're a little luckier. You know, you have someone to give you immediate feedback and said, "I don't like that. Please stop it." Okay, I see it's distancing our relationship. But with Hashem, it doesn't work that easily. When we do averos, that you get these loud, clear messages right away. It's all part of God's plan, of course. But so it's a little bit more challenging to integrate this concept that a sin really does stop us from getting close to Hashem. So therefore, ulakach gam al zeh nitzchamel. Therefore, to this point, we need a lot of effort Shibinosaf Lakash Shikr Chukasa Yilios Karv Lakarish Baruch Hu, in addition that our yearning should be to be close to Hashem, Yochusha Vera Monas Vasoseris Lichukos Chaiv Tachlisum. Person has the sense that a sin prevents and contradicts that yearning of his life and this goal of getting close to Hashem. Vizeg Gufa Nisoyin Lodaman. This itself is a great test for a person. Sheilu hayuchosh b'shasha over aver, because if a person could sense when he transgresses a sin, shal yedeze ma'aved es kirves Hashem sheishlo, that he thereby loses the closest of Hashem that he could have, hayakalo liyishar min achet b'kalus, it would be easy for a person, very easy to a person to watch themselves from doing an avera. Ulam, however, etzonis baruch shmo, the will of Hashem is shigam al zos yamal adam, the person has to work hard to appreciate that concept that an avera is a contradiction to this closeness to Hashem. Ve'ein zu hasogat tivis benefesh, and this is not a natural understanding that comes to the human being. It's an acquired, feeling that an avera does stop a person from getting close to Hashem. So we've got a lot of work to do over here in order to really want to be close to Hashem, and even if you really, really want to be close to Hashem, to really, really understand what an avera does. So, for some, if you learn Lutzado, and Lutzado talks about how the cosmic realities are affected, and things like that, it can help a little bit. However, there's a lot of work that has to go into that. Okay, Kuf Nun Beis, 152. Ata, I think that's the last one we have on the sheets right now. Ata na'avor la'avodas kinyan dvarim. So now let's move on to the work of acquiring these points. Nekuda ha'reishis kfar yidu alanu. The first point is well known to us. Shetach l'schai yodam hi'akir ve'elov. That the goal of a person is to be close to Hashem. V'izdap kuspo, and to cleave to Hashem. Ata, now as we turn the page to Kuf Yud Beis, we're going to try to explain. Kate said, "Yamala Adam Almanas Lisko Shiadiazu Tichya Bilvava Ba'ofen Muchashi Bitmidius Ulaat Lat Tamale Chelak Adam Libo." So now we're going to work a little bit. We're going to try to explain how a person can make this effort to thereby acquire this knowledge that it should live in his heart in a way that you constantly feel it, and slowly, 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 it will fill up a great part of the person's heart. Okay, so this is important, how to really feel that this is your goal and to really want it and to think about it. Avodah zu liknos ratzon amiti, this service to acquire a true desire, hu nekudas hashorish, this is the root point, this strong desire. Ki kasher yesh ratzon chazak v'amiti, when there is a strong, strong desire, Alzeh Amru, we have already a statement from the rabbis. Ein davar ha'omed kinaged haratzon. There is nothing that stands in the way of a pure will. If a person really, really wants something, nothing can stand in the way of that happening. That's a rule that is so true. So therefore, if there's a real, real will to want to be close to Hashem, there's nothing going to stop you from that. V'kasher haratzon chalosh, and when the desire is weak, you're missing the foundation for the entire structure. Therefore, a person has to work hard to work hard to want to be close to Hashem. You can't just say it from your mouth and outwardly. It's not just words. You have to really, really want to be close to Hashem. And the truth of the matter is, he says in the brackets, this is true about anything you work on. You have to really want to acquire it. And now we're speaking about the root of the desires, which is the overall desire, which is to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is the first thing you got to want. Then within this desire to be close to Hashem, then there's other things you want to work on. I want to work on my Lashon Hara. Within that context of being close to Hashem, you have to have that first desire of all desires, which is to be close to Hashem. So, Eina Kavona Sheina Rotsa Klal Lios Karv LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Shetoke Farotsan Eina Chazak Dayo. Now, we don't mean to say right now that people don't want to at all be close to Hashem. We don't mean to say that that's how you're feeling. but the strength of that desire isn't so, the power of that desire is not that strong enough to get you to that place. Everybody here said, do you want to get close to Hashem? Yeah. Okay, that's good. But it's not strong. Ubenakuda zu toli kol abinyan, and the entire structure depends on this. Kim eina rotza be'emes, if a person doesn't really want to be close, elarak roitza lirtzos, but he wants to want. I wish I could want to be close. That's a lot of us want. I really wish I could want to be close to Hashem, as opposed to wanting to be close to Hashem. So that's, he's getting to the truth over here. We all wish we could want, but not too many of us want. So as long as that's lacking, then you're lacking the root of the entire structure of the human being, which is called the desire, because you don't really have the desire. And therefore the entire structure is weak when the desire isn't truly there. Most of the stumblings and the errors and the falls of a person are rooted in that. There is not a true, deep, strong desire to continue and to proceed with this wanting to be close to Hashem. And again, in brackets, he says the same idea. And the truth is, that's how it is by all people. That this point that he's holding on to, he hasn't merited to go further in it. It's based in the fact that that's only so far his desire is strong. And to go past that, it's not so strong. It's a limited ratzon. And when there's a limited ratzon, you can't go any further beyond that limited ratzon. And therefore, that's the beginning of the desire, of the work of a person. Lo'orer esaratzon yosef v'yosef. To arouse that desire more and more and more. And that becomes the real beginning point over here. It's a question? Yeah? I wish I could want to really want to be close to Hashem. No, we say we want to. A lot of people say they want to. Sure.
But they don't mean it.
That's fine. No, they want it. They want it, but they're not yet prepared to pay the price. On a deeper level. But if we say, is this what you want? Is what I want. Could I get it without effort? Let's say, if I could cast a spell over you and say, you want now. Would you want that? Yeah. Sure, I'd want it. So you do want to be close to Hashem. You want to be close to Hashem. The fact that you can't make the effort, you know, doesn't mean you don't want it. It means you're not able to pay the price for what you want.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
No.
But the point is, if you haven't made the intellectual decision and the emotional decision to want it, then wishing you would want it is irrelevant, especially when it comes to closeness to a Hashem.
Right, but so therefore he's saying that we suffer from wishing to want. That's what he's saying, and that's not real.
So the fact of the matter is, we're fooling ourselves because we suffer from wishing to want.
That's right.
It's not a real desire.
I would just say it's real intellectually, but it isn't real emotionally. You're not willing to pay the price. Doesn't mean to say he doesn't want it. We all want to be good parents. I don't think anybody in this room says I want to be a bad parent. You want to be a good parent. Is that what you'd like to be? I'd love to be a good parent. Right? Now, do all of us do the work required? So you're saying, well, that means you really don't want. So what he's saying is, no, a person really can want something. You can really want it, what you're wanting to want it. And the next part, the effort of the wanting, isn't there.
Okay, so want doesn't include effort.
Yeah, you want a lot of things. A lot of people want to be skinny. They really want to be skinny. They know it's not good for them. They really want it, but when it comes, push comes to shove, they can't do it though. The yearning isn't strong enough that you want it so badly that you're willing to pay the price for it.
It's a question of intensity rather than whether you do or don't.
No, it's so he's saying it's a question of how real it is to you. how real that wanting is. Do you really, really want it? Or like he's saying, do you want to want it? I wish I could want it. That's what the people who say I want it, what they really are is they say, I wish I could want it so badly, and that wanting is really the real thing. Okay, well, I think we're getting caught up in a semantics game over here, but it is clear. There's a lot of people who want to be good people. They want a lot of things, and it's a true wanting. If they could choose between one and the other, the problem is, you know, being a bad parent, you don't have to work on it. You don't have to work on being a bad parent. It'll come automatically. Without making the effort, you'll automatically be a poor parent. No one is a good parent, you know, by not making effort. So the bad things in life don't take a lot of effort, right? So to not be close to Hashem doesn't take any effort. It's there. To be close to Hashem, there's a lot of work involved in that. So of course we want that. Of course we want that. We intellectually know that's an important thing to want. And to a degree, we wish we could be a tzaddik. Or think that requires being a tzaddik. But the fact of the matter is, it's mostly wishing to want. That's what he's saying, Mitch. Ki, go back a few months. Ki im eina rotza be'emes. If you don't truly want it, Elarak writes a lirtzos, but he wants to want. That's what he's saying. So it's not a true wanting. This wanting to want is not a true wanting. But we fool ourselves in saying, but I really want it. But it's not real because you're not. And yeah, right, the proof's in the pudding, how much effort you make in it. So in other words, what's the problem? That yearning is not there. The real, real wanting isn't there. All we are is we want to want. And that's not a real wanting. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
In other words, the not wanting almost deludes themselves into thinking that they don't want. They kind of rationalize themselves and say, oh, that doesn't really matter.
Right, right. Same thing. So this is a very hard thing to have this real strong wanting, to have this true, real, burning desire to want to be close to Hashem. That's the step two of the three steps over here. I think by now we all know that this is our goal in our life. But is this filling up our entire hearts, and this is the yearning of our lives? That's already where a lot of people are having problems. So, next few paragraphs. I'm sorry that we don't have them in the English text right now. They're sitting in a computer ready to get printed out. But in Kuf Nun Hei, we move on, and he's going to discuss three methods of this. So Kate said, Yagbir ha'odom es ritzono. How can a person strengthen his desire? So how can we make this wanting a stronger desire? Now remember, this is a overview. This whole book is just giving us the highlight points and is not, you know, doing all the exercises of getting this, although he'll give us one. And of course, other volumes are going to get more into detail on these points. But Isa Bezara Kaddish, we find in the Holy Zohar, Gufa Delo Nahir, a body that is not shining, Mebatshinle, you smash it, you hit it. So the Zohar says, what does that mean? Now, you can use an analogy like a coal that was on fire, now has gone out. It's not flaming. So you need to stoke it. You need to smash it a little bit. You gotta agitate it to get it on fire. And that's really, a Jewish person is like that. A Jewish person really inside has an neshama that's on fire. Problem is, we've let it cool down to such an extent that we don't even feel any fire from the neshama. So that's the problem. Klomer, meaning to say, shesibas helem haratzon, the reason why our desires are not there, they're hidden. Novea mehisgashmus ushlitas haguf al haneshama. It stems from the dominance of the body over the soul, and the person feeling he's more on a physical wavelength than on a spiritual wavelength. In other words, we have displayed a feeling that there is a primacy of the body over the soul. And our real desires are body desires. That's what it really is. Most of our desires are body desires. We want to be comfortable. We want to be happy. We want all the things that makes a body happy. Now, you want me also to be close to Hashem? Okay, as long as that doesn't interfere with my body being happy, I'm happy to do it. But most often, you'll find that it appears, not that it really is, but it, from our point of view, it seems that, you know, being close to God is a big infringement on my body pleasures. And that already takes away from that desire. It's like the Chovas Halvavos says that, you know, the love of the physical things of this world and the love of Hashem, without the proper guidance are like the conflict between a man having two wives. To the degree that you love one wife, it takes away from the love that you have for the other wife. You can't love two wives equally. If you're spending time with one, you're not spending time with the other. And the same thing, a person like wants to be married to both. You want to have everything good in this world, and you want to have a great relationship with Hashem. So it doesn't work. Now, if you have the right guidance, if you start off by wanting to have a relationship with Hashem, then you'll find out from that perspective that you have everything you need in this world. The problem is we start from the other end. First we say, I want to have everything in this world, and then I'll try to somehow squeeze God into that picture as long as it doesn't interfere with everything that I have. Right? And then that makes it almost impossible to really want him. Because we've already constructed such a strong desire for physicality. So there's no room to put God into the picture. So yeah, we learned this, and we learned that we have to be close to Hashem, and we say that we want to be close to Hashem, but our actions speak louder than words, and the fact that we love our bodies, and we love everything that gives pleasure to our bodies, and that is so automatic, and we will not compromise on that at all. So when you're not willing to compromise on that at all, there's no room to put Hashem in. You're already married to the body first. That's the first wife. Now you're trying to squeeze in a second wife. So you could squeeze her in from time to time. Maybe a davening here, a davening there, a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. But really, we're more married to our bodies. And we feel our bodies, and we love our bodies, and we want to take care of our bodies. And that is the priority of our lives. And when that is what we really want, so that other wanting, there isn't a lot of room for that. That is the main problem, the bottom line. It's the problem in Kiruv. It's a problem with Frum people. It's, we have to have all the physical things that are there. And we've got all, even if we say that we live modestly, we don't. And we want to have the things that we want to have. And we want the body to be comfortable. And we can't live without a meal. We can't live without these things. We can't live without the best. As much as we can try, you know, we try. So that some maybe to less degree, but that's what we want. And therefore, pain is something we don't want to experience at all. We don't have any kind of pain. We don't want to miss anything out to make that body happy. Okay, so now what's that? That is the real problem. So what do we got to do? So the real thing that should happen is that we have to batesh, you got to smash the body. You got to purify the body. You got to discipline the body. You got to get the body used to not being so happy or not being so well fed as much as we feed it. Right? So now that, of course, we'll see is not so easy. Ulam avodazu shel tanios v'sigufim, this kind of service which would require fasting and self-flagellations, rolling in snow, and that kind of stuff. It's not applicable to the majority of the people of our generation. As it's written in our holy books. It says, Shani Mispar, for many years already. 200 years ago. So, you know, there used to be a time when people did this. They really were serious about it, and they would do things to intentionally minimize the pleasure of the body, to get away from the body. That was really the success of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was unbelievable in this. He mamish would go for long periods of time without eating. and he did that intentionally to be able to not satisfy his body and to train his body to not be happy and to not require these things. Okay, there was only one Rabbi Nachman like that, or tzaddikim of that caliber. And at the end of the day, it's interesting, Rabbi Nachman at the end said, you know, I don't know if it was the, he did this when he was younger. He says, I don't know if it was the smartest thing. Okay, but Lamaisa, that did make him to who he was. On the other hand, you know, you could say that's maybe why he died very young, because he wasn't a very strong person. So it's not our place to judge at all. But be that as it may, the rabbis have long said that this is not the approach anymore. Although there are, you know, there are aspects of this. You know, we don't have to do self-flagellations, but you don't have to have dessert during the weekdays either. And there are ways to cut down. You know, and anyone in weight loss will tell you, you can train the stomach to want less. You really can. And over a period of time, when you eat less for a long period of time, the stomach, it shrinks, and it doesn't need to be fed so much. And there's a lot to be said about that. And one should try to work in a limited degree in that way. But in general, you know, this isn't for us. We're not going to talk a lot about this form of getting close to Hashem. But it is if you could do it, it's very effective. Playing down the body raises up the spiritual. That's why in the Chovas Havavos, for example, it talks a lot about the value of Torah learning. And besides everything else about Torah learning, the simplest thing about Torah learning is that when you're learning Torah, you're not pleasing your body. Finished. You're not eating. You're not watching television. You are learning Torah. That is a spiritual pursuit. The more you're learning Torah, the more you are engaged in a spiritual pursuit. If you're learning Torah instead of whatever other physically pleasurable thing we're doing, you're engaged in a spiritually pleasurable thing. And that already puts you on a different wavelength during that time. And the more you're doing that, the less you're doing other things. So that's a milder form. But if you really think about it, we go through the day, most of the things we're doing are engaged in the physical world in a way that is goal-orientated for our physical pleasure. To a great extent. And we're involved in that. And the little time we're involved in spiritual things is not enough to change the entire Weltanschauung of a person of what they live and tick for. But that's number one. So that's a tough one. So let's try one that might be easier. Derech nosefes, an additional path, besides the one of smashing, hisboidedus. So this we've talked about in the past, is hisboidedus, is seclusion. Shenagu bot tzadikim rabim, that many tzadikim conducted themselves this way. Ubishasa hisboidedus, and in this time of seclusion, hayu at tzadikim tsoakim vigorim ba'atzmam. The tzaddikim would scream out to themselves. What would they scream out about? Al haheder ratzon amiti l'skarev l'kodesh baruch hu, over the deficiency of a true desire to get close to Hashem. Gara achar gara, screaming after screaming, reproach after reproach. Ad asher libam haya niftach pesach ma, until the heart would open up a little bit. Ulam gamze derech lo pshuta. This is also not such a simple method. First you gotta know how to scream. And look how he calls this. Litzok minakuda salei velo minasechel. To scream from a point of the heart and not from the intellect. Rabbi Nachman would say that you have to scream so loud that no one else can hear it but you. That's how loud the screaming is. It's a different kind of a scream. It's a scream that comes from such a hidden place, from the heart. But when it comes from the intellect, when your scream comes from the intellect, then people hear it. Exactly what he means, we'd have to learn a lot of Rabbi Nachman to really appreciate what he's saying. But he's saying, and we'll see in a second, he says this is also not such an easy thing. It's not so easy. You need a real inner strength. An independent strength, shuchaliger ba'atzma be'emes, to truly scream at yourself. In other words, to be a person who can criticize yourself properly. A healthy, strong person is able to reflect on their negative points without getting depressed. And to say these, to look at yourself as an outsider looking in, to be honest with this appraisal of what the issues are in your life. And you gotta be strong to be able to do that. Umishlo chazak batz, and a person who really isn't strong inside that way, it's gonna be one or the other. Osha garasa in a garabamis, his screaming won't be a real screaming, because he really won't address the real issues. He's not going to get to the core of the real problems. Or his spirit can fall. He'll get depressed, you know, because of the screaming he did to himself. He says, yeah, talk, I'm a real shmal. He's going to fall into a depression. And with such a way, you certainly cannot grow through animalistic depression. So that's not so although these are the two most effective means, they're not really for us. Okay, so what do we got left? It's not sounding good. So kufna and vav, gotta walk away with something. So aderech hayoser krov l'nafshenu, the path that is closest to our souls, and this is something we can all do. Hu sheyachid lo ha'adam makom reik v'sheket mipnei adam, designate a place for yourself that is empty and quiet from people. Find a quiet spot. V'yedabri makadosh baruch hu bilshonohu, and speak to God in your own vernacular, a prayer that you understand. And if you don't understand in Hebrew, say this in English. And we've got it printed out. It's just not here. And tomorrow you'll get it too. You'll have it printed out. Kigon, for example, you don't have to do exactly what he writes. You can do it yourself. Compose it yourself. But he said, what we should say is, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Atoyo Deyashani wrote Zalios Korov Elecha Vidavukbach. You know that I intellectually want to be close to you and to be attached to you. Ulam Aratzan Azehu Cholash Esli, but this desire is very weak by me. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Ani Yodeya Shezeh Kol Tachlis Chayai Lios Korov Vidavukbach. I intellectually know that this is the entire goal of my life, to be close and attached to you. V'kol zeh toloi bekach, and it all depends on the following. Shani erza zos be'emes, that I really want this. Ki lefi matzovi ato sheineni rotze bekach mod, because based on the situation that I'm in right now, that I really don't want it so much, yevsh she'eknes akir ve'elecha, it's impossible for me to acquire this closeness to you. So I'm being honest with the fact that I don't really want this. It's not a strong enough wanting. And I admit this is not a strong enough wanting. So therefore, Ana Rabbeinu Shalom, please Hashem, Azraini, help me. V'sita b'libi rotzon amiti l'skar v'lecha, and implant within my heart a true desire to be close to you. She'ertze zos be'emes, to be close to you and to really want this. That should be the prayer. That should be your prayer. That we could pray for. To say that I don't have it, and I want to have it. And I want to be able to have this true feeling of being close to you. This is what I want. V'kach yarech kol echad b'lashon. Everybody should say this at length in their own language. Kol echad kifi kocha. Everybody according to their strength. Yom achar yom, day after day. So what is this gain? How does this work? So he gives us two reasons why this works. Right, but you can't just now make this another prayer. It's another one of those prayers you read, like you read the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei. You still gotta sit down in a quiet place. That first part he said before, you know, he spoke, this is great. Or if you are saying it in davening, you really are saying this slowly and thinking about it, and you know, think about how your life isn't as happy because you don't really feel close to Hashem, and how many things you're doing wrong, and you don't, you know, all the, you know, embellish it. How you really feel this, and how you see that, you know, my temper could be controlled if I really was close to you, and I see my life isn't as happy as it could be. All these things, to really say it over and over as much as possible. And he says, V'yesh b'zeh malah gedol m'beis panim. There's two, angles, two benefits to this. Number one, shal yidei etzem hadibur b'kach, just by verbalizing it, that itself arouses a true desire. As much as we don't understand how it works, it works. The more you say it, the more it wakes up the neshama. Because you got to remember, the neshama inside really wants it. Really, 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 inside every one of us, our neshamas are screaming to be close to Hashem. So you do have that ability. I think the first problem is we don't really believe we have it in ourselves to do it. We just don't think it's possible. I wasn't raised that way, Rabbi. I've lived so many years without that. Your neshama inside is just waiting. Waiting to be released. And that's what the Piazetzner Rebbe speaks a lot about in the works we've looked at already. So your neshama wants to come out. So how are you going to get to that neshama? You got to talk to it. Thinking doesn't count. It doesn't really work. You got to really speak and say it. And you're being very, and it's very honest. You're saying, I know this is what I intellectually want. I know this is what a Jew should want. And I know I don't want it. Since you're not lying. I know I don't want. You know, you might want to discuss, why don't I want it? I'm too involved in the physical world. I got too much ego. I got too much just whatever it is. But you got to explain to yourself why you don't want it. The more you speak it out, the more it starts to get into the neshama, and the neshama starts to get aroused. It's just a reality, but it has to be at least you have a strong desire to want to have the true desire. If we don't have that, then there's nothing to talk about. But at least you're saying it, and it works. It works. If you would keep saying it and saying it and meaning what you're saying, it will eventually arouse that neshama, that it will come out. It will come out. Yeah?
I always have a hard time understanding this, because people who are coming to classes at 6:15 in the morning, people who are making, you know, combinations to, let's say, walk to shul on Shabbat when it's minus 15 degrees. I mean, all the things we do it because we want to be close to Hashem. So how can we say we really don't want to be close to Hashem? Now, there's always levels. But I don't see a problem if you want to go to a nice restaurant and enjoy a nice meal, and you...
There's no problem with that.
You go to that restaurant, and you go because it's a kosher restaurant. You could always... You could choose to go to a treif restaurant because you don't want to be close to Hashem. You don't care about kosher. The only reason you're going there is because you want to be close to Hashem.
Okay, so that's good. So in the initial stages, that's good. That's good. But then we get to a point where it should get to a point where your greatest desire is to be with Hashem, and you don't need to go to that restaurant anymore. We have to mature.
But why is that the point?
You don't, because you will start valuing your time differently. Going out to a restaurant is a great time expenditure. It takes a lot of time. Till you drive down to Eglinton, because that's the only places that serve good food, I'm told, right? I'm just saying, you know, until you, and then you go there. And it's an entire night. It's an entire night. So the question is, can you spend your time and money more wisely? These are levels. We're not saying, just like in anything else, you move on to the next stage, right? And to be able to free oneself from one's physical desires, like what compels one to have the most gourmet meal possible, you know? And it's, so I appreciate there's a time where you were eating treif and you had the best foods possible and we were totally being into our bodies. So now there's a transition. So kosher restaurant is an excellent transition. And it's a tremendous thing. You will not find great people eating in restaurants. You'll never find Rabbi Lowy in a restaurant. I'm sure you will not find him in a restaurant. I guarantee you won't find him in a restaurant. Because he's a person who understands that when you're close to Hashem, you know, this isn't the optimal environment. It's not a bad environment, but there's better environments. The best environments in front of a sefer. The best environment is learning Torah. The best environment is doing a mitzvah. The best environment is, you want to talk to your wife? Go for a walk. You don't have to go to a restaurant. You want to talk to your wife? Torah says talk to your wife. Torah's not against that. Talk to your wife. But it doesn't have, it's this idea of the culinary experience. This is a facade. And you gotta be a thinker and a deeper thinker. If you really love Hashem, you got the best experience going. And you don't need a culinary experience. And that, you don't need all those trappings. A simple meal is adequate. Now, your wife's had a tough day and you want to give her a break. Fine, there's ways to do that. Okay? I'm not saying you can't go to the restaurant. I'm not saying you can't go to the restaurant. But it's how we go to the restaurant.
No, but you're saying that going there means you don't want to be as close to Hashem.
No.
It's you can do it.
There are levels. You know, it's not like the person's not close to Hashem and he is close to Hashem. Either one or the other. It's not that way. It's nothing, and then a little bit more.
We really don't want it.
You are struggling. What our issues are, we are struggling. We're struggling with, you know, dealing with what our body wants and dealing with what our neshama wants. And it's a constant struggle. And that's what's really happening. We're struggling with these issues. And if we were higher up, certain things wouldn't be important to us. If there would be a greater spiritual maturity, you know, certain things would be unimportant. They just don't matter anymore. You know, the idea of having a fancy meal, when you get to a certain spiritual point, it's not important anymore. And, you know, great tzaddikim, not even great tzaddikim, simple balabatim, like Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. What did he do? What did he care about? He was a successful furrier. What did he do? He'd have two pieces of rye bread and sardines for dinner every day for 30 years. And he didn't feel like, you know, he was missing anything, because he had much more important things to do with his life than spend them on eating food. Right? If you really, really are connected, you're not going to starve yourself, but how long does it really take? Let's be honest. How long does it take to eat dinner? 5 minutes. Let's be honest. To get the food into the mouth. Okay, we've got to chew more, maybe 15
right.
minutes.
Okay.
You know, 15 minutes. 50 minutes. You've eaten the nutritional food, because that's really why you're eating, isn't it? To get close to Hashem. Mm-hmm. You got to always remember, I'm eating for one reason, to appreciate Hashem, that He gives me good food, and to have the strength to serve Hashem, and to elevate the food. I don't need it to be in a fancy restaurant to accomplish that goal. You put in front of me a nice piece of chicken, right, with some bread, and I chew the bread, and I enjoy the bread, and I'm having an experience of Hashem with the food. It doesn't have to be in a fancy restaurant. It doesn't have to cost $200 for the family to go out. And frankly, we want to spend that money for better things. Again, I'm not saying, you know, we're terrible people for doing this. It's a question of sophistication. That's what we're talking about. It's a question of sophistication. Are we sophisticated enough to understand that the pleasure of sensing God's closeness overshadows those other pleasures that are not as sophisticated? That's all. Hashem is this. We don't legislate this. The Torah doesn't say if you go to a restaurant, you're a bad Jew. Chas v'shalom. It's not saying that. It's a question of spiritual maturity that we need to work on. And it gets to the point where you will not feel that you are being missing anything by not going to the restaurant. You know? When I was younger, yeah, we're going to go out to the restaurant. You know, you get to an age now, for me, I couldn't care less to go. And I used to like to go. But it's something that comes with age, and it comes with maturity. It comes with working on what is a better pleasure. That's all.
I agree, yeah. But I don't think it has to be not close to Hashem if you go. I don't think it takes away from your closeness to Hashem.
Okay. We will continue to work on you.